there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
It's great to be here with you today. God gives all believers spiritual DNA. It is the new hope of new life to spread wherever you go. So listen up for some new hope for today.
Now all you need is faith to have a diesel's hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. That's right.
Now in the New Testament, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This then is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he has been done through God. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that as you dwell in our hearts, Lord, that we rid ourselves of that which is worldly, that we focus on you and your voice in our hearts and minds and souls, that we indeed hear the truth and the light of Jesus Christ come through. Amen. Monday and Tuesday, went to It's a cohort of 25 people across the ECO, the Covenant Order of Evangelical Presbyterians, from across the country, who are gathering three times a year at various places, one in Ohio, one in Washington, and I think the other one's in San Diego. And it's really to explore where the church has been and where the church is going. And I got to tell you, it was very edifying, and it was edifying in the degree that many of the things that they were talking about, that with many of the people there is a holy discontent. That when you open the pages of the Bible and you see the church today, not necessarily ours, the church at large today, that you have to look at that and you think, I don't read this in the book of Acts. We're studying the book of Acts. And you don't see an institutional church with big buildings and bishops and priests and, executive presbyters and all that stuff. You don't see that. You see the word of God spread from people to people to people. We all know the Ebola virus. I hate to make this comparison, but, that's a bad thing, so this is a good thing. Is that we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, spread the word of God just like a virus to others. And it ought to be the goal of our lives to infect as many people as possible. Amen? Can I get more than one amen? Do you understand all that? And so those that gathered had this holy discontent that, that's what Jesus taught and talked about. That's what the Bible is all about. It's not institutional. It's a spreading out. It's a sending out. It's a going out. Yes, it's a gathering on Sundays like we do, for sure. But it's also a going out. There is a idea that came out of it, and it's the idea of putting discipleship and evangelism sort of in the same boat. And it took me a while to grasp that, and I didn't. At first, I didn't know if I quite agreed with it, because we're called to be evangelists. We're called to spread the good news, right? And then we're called, when we spread the good news, to make disciples. Well, you know, their contention was that if you really look at it, it's almost one and the same thing. Because after all, the disciples didn't believe when they first met Jesus. It took them a while, right? So he was with them. He was discipling them to the point of belief. Does that make sense? And so one thing that they did was the idea of discipleship. And, you know, sometimes people have a hard time with that, you know, of talking to people about Jesus. And how do I put this in an easy way and in words that people can understand? There are times when it needed to be explained, not in Christianese, you know, like we tend to do, but in a simple way. Calling this, and I don't take credit for this, this is napkin discipleship. Have you been getting my texts, by the way, or emails? I mean, is that helpful? If you haven't, raise your hand. I mean, I know, I doubt you guys have. But listen, that's virus. I mean, so if you have been getting it, you need to spread that out, right? Just send it to people. I'll tell you what, it's amazing the little stories that I get back from that. That's a blessing to me. So, and one day I'm going to share some of them. And I'll compile them and put them up on the screen. I won't say who they're from or anything like that, but good stuff. And I can't help thinking, if we all did that to friends that we had, I mean, can you imagine the good stuff in the start of the day thinking about God? Because people think about God. They think about God. People think that there is a God. Most people are. There aren't very many people who are just staunch atheists and don't believe in any kind of a God or any kind of divine power. Most people think that there is. They might have trouble understanding who that is. They may have trouble not really putting together with this God of the universe or this creator of all things might have to do with us. As a Christian, what do we know about God? We know one thing in our scripture reading. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And so in this heavenly spiritual realm, we see this God, right? Not quite sure about who he is. From a Christian perspective, what we can know about this God is that he loves us. From a Christian perspective, we know that God is for you. That he loves you. That he has your best intent in mind. Not to judge the world, but to save the world is why Jesus came. And that's good news. That's good news. It's the heart of the gospel message. Most people don't realize that there's a God who exists who is for you. If God is for us, then who could be against us? There you go, Peg. Amen. I should have put that one up there. That's it. That's the perfect verse, and that's right. He is for you. He looks down from heaven with love for you. Out in that spiritual realm, beyond his created universe, he pinpoints you and you and you and you, and he loves you. mean, can you handle that? That's awesome. And he desires the best for you because he loves you. And that's why this heavenly, holy God hates sin. And he hates disobedience because that separates you from him. You see? That moves you off the path toward God, away from God. Because his desire is for you, not against you. Now, secondly, Almighty Holy God is for us, and he wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. You see, we all have this spiritual hole to fill in our lives to worship. There's many seekers out there who worship many things. Money, you know, other people, sports stars, 60,000 people at a Steeler game. But I believe that mankind, especially, kind of at the heart of it all, and in the dark of the night, and laying in bed, you want God to be with you. There's a part of humankind that wants that. Now, here's the trouble. If you kind of can envision this God, this heavenly God, who loves you, smiles down upon you, even likes you, and you want him to be with you, and you think, man, would that be such a cool thing if God was with me? But the trouble that we have with that, when you experience a holy God in your life, it's humbling and it's scary. You know, we look at Moses, and Moses wanted to see God, right? And he had to be stuck in the cleft of a rock just to see God pass by him. You know, Isaiah was brought up to heaven and in the presence of a holy God, and he falls to the ground. You know, I have become undone. Because when we come into the presence of a holy, mighty, almighty Creator God, there is a vast difference between him and us. Isn't that right? There's a holiness that he has that, you know, we don't have. And our sinfulness seems like such an unbridgeable gap that all that we can do is fall on our knees and beg his forgiveness. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it said, as it is written, there's nobody righteous. Nobody can stand in the presence of God face to face and say, yeah, hey, buddy, you know, no. God's holy. Can't do that. There's no one righteous, not even one. In Romans 3:23, because for all have sinned and fall short, right, of the glory of God. The heavenly God. But see, God is for us, and yet God wants to be with us. But when we're with him, it kind of gets a little scary. So what's he do? He becomes one of us. God being for us and God being with us isn't enough for him. He became one of us. Unprecedented in any religion around the world. He became one of us, and that's how much God loves you. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. If you kind of paraphrase that, here's what the sense of the Greek is, that the Word became a human being and moved into the neighborhood. He came to be one of us. And so while he is for us and while his desire is to be with us, it's amazing that he became one of us and not only loves us with this heavenly love, because when you talk about God, that's kind of easy to understand versus what I'm going to say next. He actually likes us. How many times have you told your kid in a particular circumstance, can I hear it? Yeah, I love you, but I don't really like you right now. Yeah, God likes us. In fact, when you look at the reason in Matthew that the Jews crucified Christ, it wasn't because he loved us. It was because he liked us. He liked being with sinners. When we understand this fully, that God is for us, he wants to be with us, he became one of us because he just more than even loves us, he likes us. We're compelled to invite him into our homes, aren't we? Furthermore, we're compelled to invite him into our heart. So God being for us and God being with us isn't enough. He became one of us so that he could live in us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, you all know this. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That is a spiritual fact of Scripture. The Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is all about in. Being for, being with, and being one of doesn't even come close to him being in us. Beloved, this is an awesome spiritual reality that gives our lives meaning and purpose and mission. In these frail physical bodies, Christ in us. This great light and love of Jesus is poured into believers in clay pots with cracks. A glorious light that we're to share and to pour out. You see, Jesus' walk in life is an example for us. His sacrifice on the cross bought our redemption. So we are saved from our sins. And his resurrection from the dead gives believers a new life in Christ. God in you. And so we can live our mundane lives, you know, and do our work every day and wake up and, you know, we're kind of sore and getting out of bed. My foot hurt, you know, a couple of days. You know, I'm walking, I'm like, oh, give me a coffee and eat my cereal and you keep going. God is in us. And so we go to work with our co-workers. You know, we say, go out to the mailbox, get our paper, and neighbors coming. Come back in, get dressed, go to work, right? Ride in the car. You're with, you know, 10, 12 people. You are the man or woman of God in that group. Here's the last point I want to make out of all this. See, Christianity is being raised again to new life, right? In relationship with God. When we believe, we are reconciled with the holy, awesome, almighty God, Father. We are justified, we have new life, and we are spiritually born again. We are a new creation. And so as Christians, if you understand that, catch this last point. Because this is it. This is it. Right here. See, God is for you. God is with you. He desires to be with you. He becomes one of you. He is in you. Science over the last couple decades, two, three decades, have discovered and taken apart molecular DNA. And that in every cell in your body, the DNA has the capability, right, to make you who you are. Now, this isn't a science class or anything, but we can understand that aspect of DNA. You see, it comes to us when we're born, right? Now, symbolically, just let me dish this up to you. You see, when you're born again, you're injected with this spiritual DNA that comes from God in heaven. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of Jesus Christ. So, if we have that spiritual DNA, He is in you, so as disciples of Christ, you are to be for others. You are to have others' best intent in your hearts. You are to have a desire in your heart, not to hole yourself up in your house all day long, but to be out amongst people. Because you are every day in one way or another. Neighbors, friends, work, school, what have you. You want to be with people. You want to be one of others in your common group of who you hang around with, don't you? I mean, it's like a weird desire of the human heart that you want to be like part of something, right? You want to be one of the group of people you sort of hang out with. And I'm sure we all have examples, right? You know, whether it's the gun club, I don't know. You know, I'm just throwing stuff out. You know, whether it's sports, whether you're a fan, you know, whether you're at work and you have a common job or goal in mind, whether it's a sports team. You think about it, you're one of somebody, some group. So you're to be for others, with others, one of others, so that God can live in others. We're to spread that virus of the good news around. And if everybody here did that, can you imagine what the world in the United States would look like today? Beloved, I know that's hard, and I know that that's, you know, it's, oh, Pastor, you're saying that, but you know, that's a tough, but it's in you to do it. Don't resist the power of the Holy Spirit in you to cross paths with someone else to spread the good news. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy, holy, awesome God, we thank you for your work, Lord. We thank you for such a simple message. It's so easy. Lord, only you know the hearts of others. And you don't call us to be harvesters. You call us to be seed throwers. And so give us the courage. Give us the desire to be with others that you created, Lord. To be for them. To be one of them that we may spread your good news. And they may catch what we have. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.
Got that message? God is for you and in you so he can come out of you as he works through you. There's more to come on this topic that's so important to us next week.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.